Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
I think sometimes we do inadvertently underestimate the power of God in our lives and what He can do, what He makes available. And you know, we were sitting in a cafe the other day, Pastor Rob and myself, and somebody was having a bit of a sad moment a couple of tables over from us. And one of the people just said something. It must have been funny, and this lady just laughed and laughed and laughed. And I just said to Pastor Rob, you know, laughter is a medicine. The Bible says that laughter is a medicine. I think sometimes we as Christians take ourselves too seriously when God says, why don't you just enjoy my joy in your life? So tonight I just want to share on that subject. If you've got your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to look at the scripture in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to start. You know, it's going to be a glorious year this year. I really believe that with all my heart. And we're only halfway through it, and we've seen things start to shift and things begin to move. And I really believe there's a whole lot more things being shaken as we speak and as we spend time with each other. But I want to talk about the joy of knowing the Lord, the joy that comes when you come into His presence. You know, we can actually rejoice with joy. Because joy, I believe, is beyond natural words. And according to His word, joy, His joy, contains the glory of God. Can you believe that? That His joy, the joy of the Lord, contains the glory of God. In our passage here tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. And it says in the Amplified, without having seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not even now see Him, you believe in Him and exult. The Amplified says, exult and thrill with inexpressible and glorious, triumphant, heavenly joy. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The New King James says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you would rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. I believe with all my heart that joy is one of those missing pieces in a jigsaw, that when God brought us out of darkness and into His wonderful light, I believe somewhere in religion there, somewhere, we lost this thing called joy. It's such a joy to be part of the kingdom of God. It's such a joy to be part of a kingdom. It's such a joy to know that I'm loved. Even when I'm doing wrong, it's such a joy to know that when I'm sick, I have a God who says I'm healed. It's such a joy to know that when I'm down, He's the lifter of my head. That when I'm in lack, the joy that comes knowing that He's my supply and not man. Amen. It's a supernatural dynamic of God Himself. I believe that with all my heart. It's a fruit of the human born-again spirit. It's a manifestation in the believer when we choose to employ what has been poured into us by the Holy Spirit. Choice. We choose to employ what has been poured out into us by Holy Spirit. Amen? Do you need a good dose of joy for your week? Amen. I think if we're really honest, we live too much of a serious life. The world has got us contained in this place, in this time zone, in this season, where if you can shoot up something into your veins or snort something into your nose or put something down your throat or get involved with a certain group of people, that happiness can keep you going for a little while. But first of all, before I understand, let you understand what joy is, I want you to understand what joy is not. I want to start on that side, and I want to move to the joy side. Amen? So joy number one is not happiness. It is not a feelings-based emotion. And I'm so thankful for that. Happiness is fleeting. Happiness is temporal. It's often affected by a simple change of plans. An unexpected bill. A harsh or a cutting word. But we need to thank our beautiful, wonderful God that He has given us characteristics of His own Spirit now that we are brand new creations. I think sometimes we need to grasp that first and foremost. That we are brand new creations. The old habits, the old ways, the old emotions, the old ways of dealing with things are actually dead, they're buried, they're gone. And joy is one of the things that Holy Spirit fills us with. Amen? Galatians chapter 5 explains to us, there's a list of spiritual characteristics, powerful manifestations of God in our lives. And it's things that we can employ from our spirit man into our natural world. If you've got your Bibles there, Galatians chapter 5. Hold 1 Peter, but go to Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 and 23, we should all know these anyway. But the fruit of Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes, reading from the Amplified again, is love, joy. 22 and 23. That's all right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Against such things there is no law. So let's look at those things together. Love. Joy. Look at the two together, one after the other. Love, joy. What comes after joy? Peace. Look at the way they're linked together. Long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self control. Isn't it good that the fruit of the Spirit here, the fruit of the Holy Spirit Himself, is made available to us to operate in our human spirit and manifest itself through our lives? We receive it via Holy Spirit, but what we do with it reflects whether we're fruit bearers or fruit wasters. Amen? And the trouble is, sometimes we can be like summer fruit hoarders. You know, when all the nectarines are ripe at the same time as the apricots and the watermelons and the rock melons and peaches of every variety, and they all come at once, and we go, oh, this is so good, this is summer fruit. So you put it in the fridge and you have a gobble here and a gobble there, but you go back and all of a sudden it's got these furry little things on the outside. So you cut around them and eat what you can, and you go back the next day and there's more fur than fruit. You've been there? And what do? We ditch the fruit. And here's God, through the Holy Spirit, giving us this whole lot of fruit of the Spirit. And some of us don't even know how to receive part of it, far less all of it. Now, we all know that fruit grows on branches. Is that a dir moment? The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is the root. And attached to the root is the vine, and he has a name. His name is Jesus. And we are the branches that grow out from him. We're attached to the vine, attached to the main part of the plant. For those who are gardeners, you know that the root is not where the fruit is grown. Imagine digging under the ground to pick your peaches and apricots, nectarines. God designed the fruit to be grown on the branches. We're attached to the vine, we are the branches, so the fruit is meant to manifest itself out of where it's attached. Now the Holy Spirit is the bearer of the fruit. The Holy Spirit is not a hoarder of the fruit. He enables us to bear the fruit of his Spirit in our lives. And one of those key words is the word joy. I love it the way that the writer here to the church, the Apostle Paul, writes and he lists these things out. I'm sure it's no mistake the way it's written, because every word in the word is God breathed, it's Spirit breathed. So I know that when God gave the Apostle Paul those words, that's the way he would have done it. So how are we going to use that? We'll come back to 1 Peter chapter 1. And we're just going to pick up in verse 7. It says that the genuineness of your faith. Everyone says the genuineness. Genuineness of your faith. I want you to think and ponder that. How genuine is your faith in God? Are you a pseudo-Christian? Look like, smell like, talk like, act like, but not really in Christ? Or is there a genuineness in your faith? It says in here that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. It's an interesting line, isn't it? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. That now you do not see him, it's where we picked up earlier, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Friends, even in the midst of the pressures of life, the tests, the temptations that are pressing us on every side, and hard sometimes, in the intense time prior to the Lord catching us away, we can see that by faith, Scripture here says, we rejoice with a joy that is beyond natural words and contains the glory of God. Here it is written, amen? Have you ever thought of that before? That your joy is your glory container. Doesn't that fill you with joy right now? That the joy of the Lord, I'm not just talking about a quick happy fix. I'm not talking about a momentary flood of emotions that gives you a little giggle, a little buzz in life. I'm talking about the real joy that the Word gives us. We know that the word glory is the word kabod in Hebrew. It talks about a weightiness, talks about a heaviness. And therefore the glory of the Lord is the presence of God heavy with everything good. Can't get anything bad out of God. So His glory is His presence heavy with everything good. It's a manifestation of His presence. It's a manifestation of His glorious light. His goodness, in effect, overflowing. And joy is the container. Joy is the cup of His goodness overflowing with all that goodness. Joy is not just a lady's name. Joy is not just a momentary thing. Now, in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, you would know the scripture well. I quoted this morning that the joy of the Lord is what? Your strength. Amen? The joy of knowing the Lord, knowing that the Lord is with you, He's for you, He's not against you. The joy of knowing the Lord loves you, protects you, provides for you. The joy of knowing the Lord heals you, releases you, sets you free, keeps you free, empowers you, is your strength. It's not just a matter of a quick dose, a quick fix, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's more than just a few lines. That's a powerful statement, don't you agree? You see, when all of God's goodness is revealed in you, there is nothing to steal your joy, and if nothing can steal your joy, nothing can steal your victory. Come on. That should add a bit of joy to the house. Can I say it again? When all of God's goodness is revealed in you, all of heaven's available to us as born-again believers, the power of God, the resources of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the authority of God, it's all revealed to us and available to us as born-again believers. Am I right? You think God's held anything back from you? You think perhaps there's a secret bank account that God says, don't touch that, that's for a rainy day? And when the rainy day comes, you say, come on, Lord. He says, not yet. Not enough rain yet. You think perhaps there's a secret vault where healing's stored away, so just in case you get that big C on your life, God can open that secret vault and let it out? No. God says, all of my kingdom, all of my authority, all of my power, all of my wisdom, all of my knowledge, all of my wherewithal is available to every son, every daughter who calls Jesus Lord. So when all of God's goodness is revealed in you, there is nothing to steal your joy. And if nothing can steal your joy, then nothing can steal your victory. He is our victory. He's our everything. You know, when fear comes in, joy says, perfect love casts out all fear. When fear comes back again, joy says, for God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound, calm, well-balanced mind. When lack comes, joy says, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. When healing comes, joy of the Lord says, by His stripes I was healed. When wisdom tries to rob you of your joy, joy rises up and says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God will freely provide it for him. You see, the joy of knowing God and the joy of knowing God's Word brings a joy that's inexplainable, inexpressible, uncontainable into everyone's life. Am I right? Talks in here in 1 Peter 1 verse 7 about the genuineness of your faith. This is a challenge for all of us. The genuineness of your faith, receiving the end of your faith, in other words, when you don't have any doubt about what God can do in His goodness, what He has promised you, there is a joy that is beyond natural words that will sustain you. Amen? And if we can grab hold of that in our lives, that the joy of the Lord, in that simple line, is our strength, so much more flows out of that. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Book of Hebrews. Chapter 12, you all know the passage well, I know. It's underlined, scribbled against, all sorts in my Bible. I'm going to make it easy for you. I'm going to read it out of the New King James rather than the Amplified. It says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside some of the weight." Most of the weight. Now hang on, you're reading a different Bible to me. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin," weight and sin, "which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Our involvement, our inclusion, based on what Christ has already done in advance for us. The writer says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. How big's your cloud? How big are the witnesses? The saints that have gone before us. The people in your own life that have prayed you through, have brought you through, have encouraged you through. Is our inclusion, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us lay it aside. Let us deal with it. Because what it does, the Bible says it ensnares us. It captures us. Once you got rid of that, notice the comma, the pause. Put aside the weight. Put away the sin that so easily ensnares us. And with that then done, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who's gone ahead of us. He's gone before us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. All right. Who for the joy. Hello? He's our great example. Jesus the Christ, the anointed one and his anointing, gone before us, went to that cross with joy. It was set before him. You know, that to me says there's a choice. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, "If there's any way you can take this cup from me, Father, do it." Cross was set before him. His finale was written. He gets to the garden and he says, "Dad, is there any way?" Before he even answered the question, he knew the answer. So that's why his father sent him. So he went from, I've got to go through this, to, yay, I get to do this for all mankind. It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What comes after the word shame? Another comma, pause. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. That spells victory. Victory comes because he went to that cross with joy. Victory comes because the joy he knew was coming not in his life, but in that resurrected life that he was going to defeat death. He was going to defeat sin. He was going to defeat everything that was working against you and I. And for that joy, he said, I can do this. I can endure this because I know that I'm going to be up there with my Heavenly Father. I'm going to be seated at his right hand, and every other believer that comes will be seated in me at the right hand of my Father. Wow. There never will be, never has been such an intense moment as that hour that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. How did he overcome? The pain that he witnessed, the pain that he knew was going to come. How did he overcome his natural self-preservation instinct? How did he overcome that human nature that says, I really don't want to die. I really don't want to die like this. He goes through beatings, lashings, humility. But just imagine some of that crowd, when crowds get stirred up, what they do. Not just words, but I can imagine stones and sticks being thrown at him, and the Roman soldiers are just with glee just saying, come on, bring it on, it's okay. Spikes being driven into his flesh to hang him onto that wooden cross. And here the writer of the Hebrews says, for the joy set before him. That's how he endured. That's how he was able to take on the cross. The joy that was within him, I believe that was the joy of you and Father God being reconciled. I believe that's where he found his strength. I believe that's where he found the glory. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Amen? When the Bible states that the joy of the Lord is your strength, it's not simply saying a smile on your face after church and hold it as long as you can. He's not saying once you get on the road into Victor Harbour and somebody cuts in front of you and somebody does the wrong thing, that smile is gone. Joy takes you way beyond that. I left here this morning, and it was this afternoon before I left. As I'm heading towards Woolworths, I came to a T-junction and there was a car wanting to turn right in front of me, and cars going across, and I wasn't in a hurry, I was just waiting patiently. And I saw a car that wasn't going to turn into Woolies car park, but was going to keep going, and the woman waiting to turn right started to turn her car. Before I knew it, I was saying, Lord, stop her. It was so quick, it was unbelievable. But she stopped, and the look of panic on her face, if she'd turned in front of that four-wheel drive, her little car just would have been squashed and would have been right there in front of my eyes just after I finished being in God's presence and preaching his word. I felt the Holy Spirit just encouraging, speak it out. And it was that quick and it was done. And she just looked and she shook her head. You could see the fear. I just said, thank the Lord. I don't know whether she reads lips over that sort of distance, but thank the Lord. It could have been witness to something horrible. Demonic strategies will try to mess you up, will try to rob you of that supernatural joy. But by the power of God that rises up in your spirit, friends, it launches forth and it begins to praise God despite any natural circumstances going on around you. You've probably heard the saying before, as I've heard it before, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't steal your victory. And that is so, so true. I just want to bring in closing the context of this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I encourage you this week to read the whole chapter. There's an emphasis in there about the end of days. It's all about the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's very much an end of times encouragement. And this is that our genuine faith, the real thing. I want to talk about the real thing next week in our series on the new normal. our genuine faith, the real thing, when it comes down to nuts and bolts, comes down to the situation of crisis, what is our response? You see, a genuine faith will say, I'm above this. A genuine faith would say, the Lord is my provider. A genuine faith would say, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my wisdom. The Lord is my healer. The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my peace. The Lord is my joy. And we go on and say that depending on what's going on around us. But on the flip side, a non-genuine faith will go into panic mode, say a whole lot of expletives, like I heard from a Christian this afternoon. I thought, really? I'm reading this passage about genuineness of faith. Here, it's right in front of me being put to the test. Even when, friends, there are fiery trials, God will be proven to be true and pure. In the midst of all that life tries to do, and most of it is illegally against you, there is such a confidence in who God is, and such a confidence about His overwhelming goodness, that you literally have to just start praising. I can't explain the word joy in English. I can't even put a good honouring of what the real joy of knowing the Lord is. It's supernatural. If you've ever experienced the true joy of the Lord, it erupts in you like a little volcano, but it doesn't stop there. What I love about volcanoes is they've got something that spills out. It relieves the pressure. It allows overflow, if you like. And I believe God's joy is just like that. As joy spills out, it spills out the glory of God. And that, friends, is what sustains us as we receive the end of your faith. And His name is Jesus. Amen? Friends, can I encourage us this week to just praise Him? To just spend time saying, thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done. Let that joy explode within you, and then expect the glory of God to manifest out of you. Amen? The glory of the Lord is not meant to sit inside and to be contained. The glory of the Lord, the Bible says, is big enough to cover the whole earth, as the waters cover the sea, the Bible says. Amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet for a moment. I'm going to make a faith confession here tonight. I want you to join in with me. Say this with me. I believe I receive that this year is the year of amazing outpourings for heaven. From heaven, sorry. For me. I believe that the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. That is my path. And I, by the Spirit of grace, walk out that path right now. No devil can hold back the Lord's plan for my life. And I plead the blood of Jesus as the legal case for my righteousness and being conformed to the image of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. I declare that this year will be grander and greater, and that an outpouring such as never been seen before will outwork my life and the ministry that God's given me. I declare this in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. It's going to be a glorious year. Amen.